reading from the New King James Version, Book of John, chapter 8. Book of John, chapter 8. And I'll read down through verse 59. Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Why do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by.
Well, good morning. Good to be with you all this morning. Thankful for the opportunity to be able to bring a message from God's Word. And it was kind of neat. I know this place is special to Mom and Mama. And it's on the way here, Mom was telling us stories and pointing out things that she remembers on the way here. And so it was, I know it's a special connection for them. I'm thankful for my family being here with me. And it's good to be with the Christian family here at Beulah, and it's good to be with all y'all, and looking forward to the time. I've enjoyed the worship service so far. That's what it's all about, is glorifying God. And you know, my brother and I, we're just here to proclaim what's in the pages of this scripture. So it's my hope and my prayer that we just become better Christians and allow this word to truly change us and become more and more like Christ. And so that's my hope and my prayer this morning. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of John chapter 9. The book of John chapter 9. I want to start off by asking ourselves a question. Am I blind? And I'm not asking about your cataracts. I'm not asking about any sort of, you know, physical blindness. How good did you get to the building here or anything like that? This morning we're going to talk about spiritual blindness, and we see a group of people who did have spiritual blindness in the book of John chapter 9, and then we had a man who had spiritual sight. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. But starting in John chapter 9, the way we're going to kind of work through this lesson is we're going to just work through the book of chapter 9 of John and read sections of it, talk about it, and really notice things in the characters throughout the chapter. And then we're going to come out at the end and say, okay, so how does this apply to me? What can I get out of this? Because it's not just some story we read in the Bible. It applies to us. It applies to our souls and our lives. So read with me starting in John chapter 9 in verse 1. I appreciate the scripture reading this morning because this is right off the cusp of Jesus dropping a pretty hard bomb on them in chapter 58, in verse 58 of chapter 8. It says, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So Jesus is claiming to be the Son of God. He's before all. He has always been. And so Jesus has just hit them with this. And now we have this story coming off the cusp of the Pharisees and the Jews always trying to get after him. And then now we have picking up in John chapter 9, starting in verse 1. Read with me. I'll be reading from the ESV. John chapter 9, verse 1. "As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So we'll stop there for now. So I've tried to put myself in the shoes of this man who has been blind from birth. And it's not that he lived a few years of his life and he could see and then something happened to him, he became blind. All this man has known is darkness since day one. And I don't know if anybody in here has been to, you probably have, been to Ruby Falls up in Chattanooga. And, you know, they'll send you down the elevator, you go to the back of the cave. And I remember vividly, you know, they do the whole thing where they shut the lights off. And it's just, you can't see anything at all. It's just pitch black. You know, you wave your hand in front of your face right here and it's nothing. And this man has that experience. He's been blind from birth, but the only difference between us at Ruby Falls and him is that he has never seen light before. He doesn't know what light looks like. So he's just had darkness all throughout his life, and Jesus Christ is about to light up his world in more ways than one. And so continue to read with me in verses 6 through 7. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. So when I read these couple verses, it makes me think back to, can y'all think of a man in the Old Testament who was told to go wash and be cleansed of something? So you're probably thinking of Naaman, right? So Naaman put up a fight and he was saying, you know, I'm not going to go wash in that dirty Jordan. And then eventually he was convinced, but this man has faith and he says, okay, this man called Jesus has asked me to go wash, and I'm going to go do it. And so he goes and he comes back seeing. And so this is an amazing miracle that Jesus has just performed. And we see he showed it to his disciples. And not just the disciples, but all you're about to see here in the next section, that everybody around them are going to be like, what on earth just happened? So look with me in verses 8 through 12. And I do want to pause here to say one more thing. So if we, you know, maybe were of the world or had a worldly mindset, we might be like, well, Jesus has just performed a miracle and he's healed this man's physical blindness. Like, that's just the climax of the story. We can close our books and go home. That's not what this story is about. It's not Jesus healing his physical blindness. Whereas that's amazing and all, but there's so much more depth to it than that. So pick up with me in verse 8. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, it is he. Others said, but no, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the man. So they said to him, then how were your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, where is he? And he said, I do not know. So here in this section, Jesus is the, everything revolves around Jesus, right? So before Jesus came, this man was blind. After Jesus came, this man can see. And that's really important to this story, is that we realize that without Jesus, none of this would have happened. This man would still be lost in his blindness. He would still not be able to see. And what does this, the formerly blind man call Jesus in verse 11? He says, the man called Jesus. So at this point, Jesus is just the man called Jesus. This is a man who healed my sight, and it was amazing. It was a miracle, but he's the man called Jesus. So notice this blind man's progression as we go through the story. And we'll see how he starts to come closer and closer to believing in Jesus and have complete faith in that. He's not just a man called Jesus. So we'll see. Notice that as we go through the story. Picking up in verse 13, now we get introduced to another group of people, the Pharisees. And that word Pharisee, we know how they are in the New Testament. Not all Pharisees, but most of them. So we're going to see how they react to this amazing miracle that's just happened. they brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." So let's stop there. So the Pharisees here, they ask, okay, so what's up with this man who healed you? What, tell us the story. And this blind man, as you'll notice, he's going to repeat the same thing over and over and over again, because there's only one thing he knows. He says, "I was blind, now I see." And that's it. Jesus is in the middle. So that's just going to be what he repeats to the people and to the Pharisees. But it's interesting to me that in this section that we just read, the Pharisees, they completely, you know, they don't even think about the miracle at all. They're like, "Oh, he must not be from God. He broke the Sabbath day." They're like, just don't want to see Jesus's power, because they're trying to catch him on this and this and this. And, you know, this man's like, you know, forget about the Sabbath day. Jesus, the Bible says Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Here's a man who has healed my blindness, and he is obviously from God. And so they're trying, they don't want to see. It's not that they can't see, it's just that they don't want to see. And so the Pharisees are trying to obviously push Jesus's power down. And you'll see in verse 17, the blind man answers to the Pharisees and calls him a prophet. So he goes from a man called Jesus to a prophet. So notice his faith building. For the time's sake, I don't want to read this next section, but essentially the parents, they're like, okay, we're going to go to the parents, see what they have to say. And they don't want to be tossed out of the synagogue, so they're like, don't ask us. He's of age, go ask him. And we don't want to have any part of this. And they don't want to stand up and say, this is what happened, this is our son. They just want to kind of push it off on their son. But luckily, their son has really amazing faith that we can get a lot from. Pick up with me in verse 24. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give the glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard to anyone open the eyes of a man who's been born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answer him, you were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. So I do love this part of the story, because the blind man is saying, you know, you've already asked me, and I'm just going to tell you the same thing that you asked me before. It's like, it sounded like you want to come hop aboard, you know, following Jesus and become one of his children. And they're like, this man's not from God. We're not going to serve him. And so I love the interaction between the blind man and the Pharisees, because they're just trying to catch him, but he's just not going to cave. He has faith in this man called Jesus. And then notice he transitions and his faith builds a little more, and he calls him from God. And it says in verse 33, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. So notice his faith building as he's continuing to go here. And like I said before, it's not that you'll notice that the Pharisees, they're so arrogant and they're so prideful, they just don't want to believe. It's not that they don't see the miracle happening. They just realize that, oh, our traditions, our power is at stake here. We don't want to give that up. So we need Because if Jesus is true, if this all this is true, then what does that mean for us and our standing? So they're really worried about that and concerned with those issues dealing with their power and their traditions. Let's close up the text with verses 35 through 38. So finally, the blind man has gone back and forth, and he comes to finally the man, his Savior, who healed him of his blindness. And so after the blind man gets away finally from the Pharisees, and then let's see Jesus's and the formerly blind man's reaction. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. So finally, this man comes to full faith, and he realizes that this man, it's not just a man called Jesus. This is the Son of God, the Son of Man, who has healed me from my blindness. And he all of a sudden goes from having physical blindness and spiritual blindness to being able to see physically and spiritually. And so I want to leave off that last section. We'll come back to that at the end of the lesson. But after reading through this whole chapter, is this just, you know, some story in an old dusty book that we just read for our entertainment? This is the inspired Word of God. These people in this story is us. We can see ourselves in, hopefully it's more so the blind man than the Pharisees, but we can look at ourselves and say, okay, am I acting like this person or this person? And so that's what I want to do for the remaining little bit of time we have. I want to look at two things and contrast the Pharisees and the blind man. The first thing is that the blind man begins to see versus the Pharisees kept their vision shut. And that's spiritually. So look with me back in verse 11. And we talked about this a little bit as we progressed through the passage. But notice how the blind man in verse 11, Jesus is a man called Jesus. Verse 17, he calls him a prophet. Then verse 33, he is a man from God. And then verse 36, he is the Son of God. He's the Son of Man, and he worshiped him. So do you notice how he slowly opens his heart as he sees that? He's saying, okay, he's more than this. He's more than just a man. He's more than a prophet. And then he realizes that this is the Savior of the world who's healed me of my blindness. And seeing his path of faith is just, it truly is amazing. But do we see the same sort of heart opening in the Pharisees' hearts? So look with me in verse 16. They say, "He's not from God, he is a sinner." Verse 18, they did not believe. Verse 21, once again, they call him a sinner. And then verse 33, they cast out the blind man and call him a sinner. So they're just completely locking up. you don't see their heart opening like the blind man's, because they just don't want to see it. They don't want to accept it. And so their faith is staying in themselves is what it is. And it's not their faith in Jesus. That the blind man's faith was 100% in Jesus. And so when we think about that in our lives, you know, think about when you deal with people in the world. You know, sometimes you may talk to people and they're like, you try to tell them you have the words of life here, and you try to tell them salvation, the plan of salvation, and they just, you know, refuse to believe it. They just don't want to believe it because, oh, I've got to give up this, or oh, I've got to give up that, and I don't want to do that. I'm not going to believe. And so sometimes it can be a little frustrating to us. And when we're dealing with people, you know, sometimes we just need to be like the blind man and say, I don't know too much, but one thing I do know, I was blind, now I see. When we're dealing with people, we need to tell them, I don't know everything about the Bible. I'm always going to try to learn and grow. But what you need to know is that this man called Jesus came to this earth and died a perfect sacrifice for my sins. And he is the way to salvation. And that's what you need to know. And so that's what the blind man was repeating to the Pharisees. And that's what we can say to other people is, this man, Jesus, has truly changed my life. And we can say that honestly and truthfully to people when we're talking about. And that can be a little frustrating when we're talking to other people, but how about amongst, like, ourselves? when we're dealing with each other, and let's say someone comes up to me and says, you know, I don't know if you taught this right. I don't know about this verse interpreting. Am I going to say, no, I'm definitely right on that. I'm not going to change my mind. We better be careful. Those are dangerous words, because a lot of times if we say that, not to say that, you know, we don't need to have conviction and not, you know, stand firm on what we believe in, but we better be careful trying to say, you're a brother in Christ, you're not going to change my mind on this. Like, I'm right. That's very, very dangerous. It's dangerous for me. It's dangerous for all of us, because a lot of that's us being what? It's us being spiritually blind. And so we don't want to be like the Pharisees in that way, to where when we're dealing with our brethren. The second, actually turn with me to John chapter 12, a couple pages over. John chapter 12. Talking about opening our hearts. The blind man beginning to see versus the Pharisees keeping their hearts shut. John chapter 12, verses 36 through 43. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. So that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, Lord, who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, for again Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw the glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. And that's a perfect transition into our second point, and that's the pride of the Pharisees versus the humility of the blind man. See in verse 38, at the end of all of this, what does the blind man do? He bows down and he worships Jesus. He doesn't try to deny anything. He doesn't try to say, oh, I'm going to have to give up this and this and this in my life to follow Jesus. He realizes this amazing thing Jesus has done for him and says, you're the Savior of the world. I'm going to worship you as the Son of God. And he opens his heart completely and he humbles himself. And Ty talked about that a little bit this morning in the verse that he read. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. This man was, in that moment, as humble as they come, because he realized, this man has done everything for me. The man could not see at all by his own doing. It was just by Jesus. And so we see that versus the Pharisees' reaction. You don't have to turn there, but in Luke 18 and verse 9, right before he talks about the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee, it says he's going to speak this parable to those who trusted in themselves, right? So the people who are there listening to that, they thought that they were the stuff and that they were going to be able to listen to themselves. And when they prayed so people could see them, and they weren't humble. They were prideful. And, you know, it's easy as you go through, as you see the Pharisees in this story or just, you know, all throughout the New Testament, it's easy to sit back and say, man, like, they were really, really prideful. Like, how on earth would someone be like that? And, you know, a lot of times in my life, I'm like, that's me. It's because it almost seems just ridiculous, as hard of a heart as they have. But there's been many times in my life where I've been caught up in my own pride. Or, you know, they say many, many times, you know, we know that this man is a sinner. It's like, do you? You know, how do you know that? We just know. And so you can almost hear it in their voice, just like, we need to be careful, and I need to be careful, saying, I know this, I know that, because of my own doing. That's not the way we need to live our lives. That's not the way I need to live my life. And if we're not careful, we can look at the Pharisees and see how absurd an example that is, but a lot of times it's me. And fixing that in our lives is very, very important. Come back with me to the text, John chapter 9, at the very end, the last three verses, and then the lesson will be yours. John chapter 9, verses 39 through 41. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." So what does Jesus mean here at the end? You know, we can't say that, "Oh, I see now." What is this talking about in the whole context of the John chapter 9? It's talking about the Pharisees saying, "We see because of our own sight." Not the blind man realizes that he got spiritual sight not because, "Oh, I can see," but because Jesus was in the middle. That's the whole point of the story, is that the only reason why the blind man went from blindness to sight was because Jesus was there. And if we say, talking about us now in our lives, that "I see, I know this, I know that," then we're going to be just like the Pharisees rather than having the humble, open heart like the blind man and realizing our lives will not change. And in closing, I want to say one more thing, because realizing, especially here at the end of John chapter 9, verses 39 through 41, and the blind man saw in his life that the only one who could save him from his sight was Jesus. And the same thing applies in our life, that without Jesus Christ, we are just sinful, poor, blind beggars in need of a Savior. And we cannot come to salvation without Jesus Christ, and he's the one that's in the middle. And the Pharisees thought that they can be saved by their own righteousness, but the blind man realizes that I need Jesus, and we need Jesus too. And we realizes that we can't say we see, or we won't be able to have spiritual sight without Jesus. And so this morning, think about your life. Think about, am I spiritually blind? Truly, genuinely answer that question to yourself. And we don't say, "I'm not blind, I see because of myself," but realizing that Jesus has changed my life, and that constantly, each and every day, we're going to let the light of Christ shine through us and just let him change your life.